What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant and Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Hopefully you guys are enjoying some spring weather. I know here where I'm at, outside of Charlotte, we kind of had a fake out. We had a little head fake there. It was in the 70s for a minute, nice and sunny, and now we're back down to the 50s and 60s with lows in the 20s and 30s. So hopefully this is like a last little run of winter, and then we can get on with some nicer weather because I am ready to get outside, you know, get on the water and things like that. Just have that nice spring and summer season. So, you know, with spring, obviously we got football kicked off. They've had a couple of practices, only I believe one padded practice. Now they're on spring break, but they will be back this weekend. So I've just kind of been waiting for some news to build up so we can put together a full episode for you guys. But we have had enough now. We definitely have a full episode for you guys today. With that being said, I've just been staying busy, working a lot of hours, extra overtime at work, just trying to get some things done around the house. You know, this is the time to do it during the off season when it's a little slow and there's not a whole lot of news. That way, you know, come this fall, it's going to be an exciting and eventful season for this Florida State football team. And I want to be able to have all the free time I can to be committed to bringing you guys the best coverage possible. So, like I said, I have been just really busy working extra and getting all the things done around the house. I've even started going back to the gym. You know, I do love the gym. I will admit I'm the first one to make an excuse why I don't want to go, you know, whether it just be a Tuesday and who goes to the gym on Tuesdays, or maybe it's a little windy outside. Maybe I shouldn't drive in this wind or something, you know. But once if I actually make it to the gym and I actually go inside, I do love it. I do miss it from when I used to work out when I played sports and I could spend a few hours in there. Unfortunately, in the first 2 weeks, I already caught tendonitis in my elbow, which kind of makes it a little tough. But, you know, you just got to kind of power through it a little bit. You know, maybe lifting pizza and 12-ounce curls wouldn't have done that to me, so that's what I get for being healthy. But I think it's worth it in the end. The other little bit of news before we jump into things here is I did go ahead and I got in my time off request, and I went ahead and booked an Airbnb for the weekend of the Miami-Florida State game. So it looks like that will be for sure the one that I'm going to be attending this year. And I'm excited about it. I know the home slate this season is not the most exciting. And to me, Miami is obviously, even if they're down, you know, I don't believe they're going to take a big step this year. Even if the game ends up like last year, I think that is the big ticket home game of the season. It's always a fun atmosphere. Rivalries are always fun. I know the Miami and Florida State games that I've been to in the past have always been a great, crazy atmosphere. So I'm looking forward to that. Just, you know, being 7 hours from Tallahassee up towards Charlotte, it does make it kind of hard to go to multiple games a year, especially with those hotel prices. Because, I mean, guys, you know how they do us in Tallahassee. It is kind of ridiculous. But I did find a nice little Airbnb kind of in a little rural part of Tallahassee, and it's owned by FSU alumni and fans. So it's nice to be able to have a quiet place while you're there and to also support a fellow Seminole. So I am excited about that. Like I said, hopefully I can run into some of you guys while I'm there. I'll be there for a few days. Who knows, maybe at some tailgates or something like that. We'll have to set things up a little bit closer to that. Of course, if and when, hopefully, Florida State makes it to the ACC Championship, being I live really close to Charlotte, of course, you guys know I'll be there as well. So hopefully that is something that I can look forward to this year, especially with no divisions. I feel like we have a really good chance to make it. I was going to try and do LSU. I mean, at the same time, I did go last year, but that was New Orleans, not Orlando. Nothing against Orlando, but it's not New Orleans. And, you know, we might have a pretty big game to be saving up for in 2024, which we're going to get to in just a second. But to me, I just really love being in Tallahassee, being at Doak Campbell for a game. And that's why I chose the Miami weekend. You never know. I may make it to more than one game, but I like being able to see it on TV where I can watch it really good. You know, I love the game day atmosphere, but then I'm also close to my equipment here, so I can give you guys maybe some more post-game reactions and things like that. Also, I may try and go to the Clemson game on the road because I am pretty close to it as well, and I'm off that weekend, so I got my eyes on that game as well. So with that being said, guys, let's just go ahead and jump into it so we don't run you too long here. Obviously, the big news that broke yesterday was Florida State is going to be opening their 2024 season with a Week Zero contest on August the 24th of 2024 in Dublin, Ireland against Georgia Tech. And this is a really exciting opportunity for Florida State, the brand as a whole, just to kind of go in, as I made the play on words yesterday, internationals. You know, you're getting to go overseas. This is Florida State's first game outside of the U.S. And, you know, it's going to be a really cool experience for not only the players, the coaches, whichever fans, you know, however many of them get to make it over there. I understand, of course, that's going to be pretty pricey, so it's not going to be within everybody's reach. But at the same time, if you look at some independent travel quotes that I've seen and things like that, it's really not too terrible when you consider, you know, like I said, how much those Tallahassee hotel prices are and things like that. If you have to travel in town, it gets pretty pricey to go to some of these games. So maybe it's within reach. I would love to personally go. You know, I might take my best swing at it, but we'll have to see how things play out. But it is something that I think is exciting. And, you know, this is something that Michael Alford kind of hinted at on social media a few months ago, last year, I believe it was. And now it comes to fruition. And it's just something where you can take the brand to a whole new level. And I saw, now, first off, I will say that there has been a little bit of animosity about it. And I get it. It's kind of like a why. But at the same time, I know there was some people who were upset that you took the game out of Atlanta, which is a pretty big hub for a lot of Seminole fans. Not only do they live in Atlanta, but it's a very close drive for them. I know it's only about 4 hours for me, so I probably would have tried to go as well. And we haven't played Georgia Tech in Atlanta since, I believe, 2016. We won't even talk about that game. But at the same time, you know, with the divisionless ACC now, you're going to be able to make that return trip. You know, they play every team now in the ACC over a certain amount of years. So we will be there eventually. Atlanta's not going anywhere. Georgia Tech's not going anywhere. And this could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So I think it is something to look forward to. And the other argument I saw some people say was, well, it is Georgia Tech, so it's not really that exciting of a game. But at the same time, when you really look at things as a whole, well, first off, let's talk about Georgia Tech. Now, they just promoted their interim coach from last year, I think Chip Long is his name, to the full-time coach this year. Now, Georgia Tech is a mess, and they are still trying to do, they are still in a rebuild, trying to get away from that triple option team that they ran for so many years. But if they can get some continuity, maybe just make a bowl game this year, I think that's kind of helps them along for next year. If Florida State has the season that they're hoping for in 2023, then you should come into 2024 ranked and as a high-profile program, as they are anyway. So while it may not be a Florida State LSU type of ticket, it's still going to be exciting, and it's still going to be a Power 5 matchup, ACC matchup, and it's going to be week zero, which I do think helps. And so talking about the game, there was a little interaction I saw on Twitter where a Florida fan said that it wasn't that exciting of a game, you're playing Georgia Tech and all that, and I understand Florida State should win, and that's good too, but now we're going to have a lot of questions to answer ourselves in 2024 with replacing a lot of production. But when you look at just the game itself. So last year in 2022, Nebraska and Northwestern played in Ireland in the same stadium in Dublin, which is part of this kickoff series that they've been doing. There's been other games there in the past. But when you talk about Nebraska and Northwestern, that to me is a major yawn fest. I mean, Nebraska has a big following, but they've been terrible for a long time. This is the year that Scott Frost got fired. Northwestern was absolutely abysmal last year, actually beat Nebraska, which is probably one of the reasons that Scott Frost got fired. Anyway, that game drew 4.42 million viewers. It was the fifth highest ranked game in week 0-1 matchups. And the person who's made this comment was a Florida fan. That game drew 1.47 million more viewers than Florida-Utah, which was one of the more higher ticketed games in week one. And it was a good game at that. So to me, like, you're going to get that extra draw just from being an international game, from being nationally televised on a big network. I believe it was on Fox last year. And being week zero, there's not a whole lot of competition to compete for viewers with. On top of that, you look at Florida State, who's a big name brand who already draws a lot of viewers. They had, against LSU last year in week one, 7.55 million viewers. So I believe that was one of the top 10 most viewed games in all of college football. You also had, and one of the arguments was, well, Georgia Tech is not a very big draw. And I understand that Georgia Tech depends a lot on who they're playing. But when you look at Clemson versus Georgia Tech last year, I know it was on a Monday night and it was the only game on. But again, like we said, keep in mind, you're going to have a week zero game where you might be one of the only Power 5 games on that weekend. So they drew 4.86 million viewers for Clemson versus Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech against Georgia also drew over 2 million viewers. So there's nothing to say that a game against Georgia Tech still can't have a high viewership. And so I do think it's an exciting game. I think it'll be fine for viewership. I think it'll be extremely fun for fans. I think it'll be a good opportunity to expand the brand on a new level. I think it's, you know, overall, man, it's just going to be an amazing trip, and I really hope I'm able to go. But for those who are able to, I know it's going to be a really fun experience. So I get it. I get both sides of the argument, but I, you know, just enjoy it. Be happy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to be negative about it. It is what it is. It's already scheduled. It's already set. There's nothing you can do about it now. So just kind of enjoy it. It's a unique opportunity. And, you know, being week zero, it's also going to give you that second bye week during the season, which I like. So hopefully you don't have to come back and play on a short week after a long trip. Maybe they get the bye week the week afterward, being you're coming from so far away to get back home. But I do like that second bye week of the season. And the other thing that's worth mentioning here is this game was slated to be in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. So you are not giving up a home game. And I think that is important to say. Alford did not want to give up the home game when this was in negotiations. So not only do you get your full home slate, but you also get the opportunity to have a unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go see Florida State play in Ireland in a pretty exciting matchup to kick off the season. So, I mean, it's going to be more exciting than Duquesne at home if you're talking about week zero matchups, which is what we had last year. So to me, it's pretty cool setup, and you don't lose the home game. You know, Atlanta's going to be there. Georgia Tech's going to be there. They're not going anywhere. You know, and like we said, with the divisionless ACC, we'll be back there eventually. The next bit of news we're going to talk about here is supposedly there's been some reports out that Destin Hill is still on pace to make it on campus in May. Now, I personally am not holding my breath on this. I'm not even really going to really give it a whole lot of attention, but there's a reason why it may be relevant with the Michael Pittman news, which we're going to get to in just a second. But, you know, this was a really talented guy who had a lot of speed, who hasn't played football in over 2 years. We'll have to see how long it takes him to get back in football shape. You know, I don't know. I'm sure he's been keeping himself in at least good physical condition if they feel like he can still come in and compete. And you may need him. Now, he may just be a special teams guy. He may be a punt returner or something like that for you till he gets kind of in rhythm. You know, I'm not buying into it until I see him in person and know he exists and see him actually on campus. But it is news, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, anytime you can add a former top 100 player with extreme speed to the roster, I mean, you got to take it. You know, you got to take it, whether it's been a strange recruitment or not. It is what it is. So we'll see if that actually happens. I'm still skeptical myself, but we'll see. It's kind of like the Easter Bunny. You know what I mean? You've heard about it, but you've never seen it, so you just really don't know what's going to happen there. Now, getting on to spring football, like I said, they've only really had one practice in pads, and it's hard to judge anything off of unpadded practices. But so far, some of the news and notes that I've been hearing around and some of the things that we've seen, obviously, first up, we'll address the Micah Pittman injury. It was a hip injury, which is something we know he dealt with and played through last year, which really speaks a lot of his toughness to be able to play through this. Something that requires surgery and for you to be out 4 to 6 months, for you to be able to play through, to me, that speaks a lot about his toughness. Now, this, you know, you're going to miss his blocking ability. You're going to miss his leadership, even though he'll still be on the sidelines. You know, but you're going to miss his hard-nosed, tough playing style. There is no doubt about it. You're going to miss him in the punt return game. You know, even if I know he kind of started to make some things happen last year, but at the same time, if nothing else, he's a smart returner who has good hands. He didn't, you know, we had a lot of issues with punt return prior to him being back there. So you are going to miss him in that aspect. Now, as far as production goes, this is going to give you an opportunity to get some other guys on the field. And I feel like they're, as far as production-wise, you can replace what he did last year. You know, he had about a little over 330 yards, I think it was, 3 touchdowns. So not a whole lot of production from Michael Pittman. But again, like I said, you're going to miss that hard-nosed toughness, that blocking ability that he had. That's going to be hard to replace. But you're talking about guys like Winston Wright, who's returning from injury himself. And to me, as far as production goes, he's a more explosive receiver. I think he had over 600 yards his last season at West Virginia. We know he had a devastating injury last year, so if he can be himself by the fall, and there's no guarantee of that, I think you have a guy there who can step right in and replace the production, maybe even increase the production from the slot receiver position. You also have Darion Williamson, who is a guy that we saw flash last year before injury and missed most of the season after that, but he is also someone that Mike Norvell has mentioned. You also have Ja'Kai Douglas, who missed some time with injury last year, but who is an absolute burner as far as speed goes, who can step into the slot. You also have freshman Vandravius Jacobs, who has apparently been pretty impressive in spring so far. He's another guy that could get some playing time there as well. So you have a lot of guys that you can get rotation in at the position, you know, and you know it's early, so you can go ahead and start working them in and kind of figuring out who you want to go with there. I mean, the good thing is the timetable and with how people heal nowadays, especially with him being in good shape and having a good rehab team and things like that around FSU, you hope he can get back sooner than later. That's Micah Pittman. You know, 4 to 6 months, you think September is going to be pushing it. Now, unfortunately for us, September is a really crucial month. I mean, you have LSU and at Clemson in the same month, and it looks like he's probably going to be out for both of those games. You get the bye week after Clemson going into October, so you would hope he could come back and be there in, you know, starting in October for the kind of be there for the stretch of the rest of the regular season. But it does kind of stink that he's going to miss two of the most important games because, like I said, you're just he's a leader. He plays hard and he's a good blocker, which is kind of one of those unsung, irreplaceable qualities that he has. So he's going to miss a crucial month of the season, the most crucial month of the season. I'm not going to say it's going to cost FSU a game, but it's, you know, it's going to have some sort of an impact. Like I said, it just depends on the other guys and how they step up in their play to step up in that slot receiver position. So that's something that we will keep our eye on. We wish him a speedy recovery. I know it's next man up until he gets back, and hopefully he can be back by October. You know, maybe even a little sooner. We'll have to see. So some other notable players that are out for the spring season is Robert Scott, your offensive tackle. And hopefully these are no major injuries. Maybe it's just kind of taking it easy, being cautious with some guys. Kevin Knowles, Aaron Hester, and Malcolm Ray at defensive tackle is also going to miss the entire spring. And this is really what I talked about in my episode, the spring preview. What I'm watching for is overall team health, just to see how many guys are out, see how many guys are going to miss time. And, you know, these are some crucial names, but it's not a whole lot, so that's good. You know, I mean, you hope these guys are going to be back by fall. We haven't really heard a whole lot on the other guys why they're missing time. I know Michael Pittman's was, you know, they don't really talk about injuries at Florida State, which is smart, and I don't blame them for that. The Michael Pittman news was broke on his social media channel, so that's why that news came out. So we're not really sure why the other guys are out, but hopefully they'll be back by the fall session, maybe summer workouts. But for the guys who are here, so far some of the things that we're hearing, Daryl Jackson, the transfer from Miami, looks very impressive. First off, he's just a massive human being. He has the measurables that you want, and he's had a very first his very first practice in pads was impressive at Florida State. So that is something to really be excited about. I know they're still waiting on word for the waiver to see if he'll be eligible this year. But hopefully, I know they decided to crack down on some of these second-time transfers, but I think he got in before then, so hopefully this is something that they can get taken care of and get him eligible for this year, because if you're going to make the run that you want, you're going to need this guy. And, you know, initially we thought he was probably going to come in as a backup, and he may still be a backup. He may still be in your second rotation, but he could excel, you know, to a starter position. But this is a guy who's going to be crucial to this defensive line this season, especially if he continues to be as good as he looks. Another guy up front on the defense that we're already hearing good news about is Braden Fisk. Again, we know he's coming off an injury of the shoulder, but they say he moves really well for a guy of his size, and he just has like absolute explosiveness and speed off the ball, which is going to be really nice to watch for Florida State because, you know, last year, like we talked about before, the defensive line had some shortcomings once Fabian Lovett went out. And now you just look at the transformation from last year to this year where you have, I mean, you could have one of the best two deep defensive lines in not only the ACC, because I know Clemson's bringing back some dudes too, but college football as a whole. I mean, when you think about you have Jared Verse, and the thing is with Jared Verse is we said last year that we know he's not going to be Jermaine Johnson 2.0 his first year in Power 5. Well, he kind of looks like, you know, that is a real possibility this year. I mean, he was slated to be a first to high second round NFL draft pick already after 1 year in Power 5 football. So now you've given him another year to sharpen and hone his skills. And, you know, he could be really, he could be a Jermaine Johnson 2.0 in 2023. And when you look back at 2021, really the thing that was the highlight of that team that kept that team, and I know they didn't have a good year, but the thing that really kept that team in a lot of the games was the defensive line that consisted of Jermaine Johnson and Kier Thomas. And having that ability to get pressure off the edge was so crucial for that team to not completely fall on its face. I know, like I said, I know it wasn't a good season, but it, you know, had it not have been for Jermaine Johnson and Kier Thomas, whoo, man, that could have been a really, really bad year. But you look at, you have Jared Verse now, who is really one of the best defensive ends in all of college football. Coming behind him, you have Jared Verse Light in Patrick Payton, who is a talented player and now has a year of experience under his belt. And then you have Daryl Jackson. You have Fabian Lovett, who we know is a really good quality defensive tackle who hopefully can stay healthy this year. And again, the deeper the rotation gets, the less you have to lean on these guys playing a high snap count so you can keep them fresh and healthy as well. So you look at Fabian Lovett. You have Verse. You have Peyton. You have Daryl Jackson. You have Braden Fisk. You also have Malcolm Ray, who, you know, we forget about at times, but he's still a very veteran, experienced player who can really make an impact at times. You have Joshua Farmer. You have Derek McClendon, who comes back. You have Gilbert Edmond, who comes in from South Carolina, who is a quality, has quality SEC starting experience. You also have Dennis Briggs, who's a guy who can play inside or outside for you and is a talented player, but was coming off an injury last year. And now, if he's healthy, when you look, like I said, you're two deep, maybe almost even three deep defensive line is really, really good. And so that, to me, is going to pay huge dividends for this defense last year because it was something that they lacked last year. Obviously, you know, you had some talent out on the edge, but the inside really just lacked that dominant presence, and that's something that you could have this year. You also consider guys like Joshua Farmer, who flashed last year as a freshman, who was forced into duty before he was probably ready. Now he has that experience as well, so I'm really excited about what this defensive line can do this year. Also, Jordan Travis has already gotten a lot of praise, looking crisp this year, and his accuracy seems to be off the charts, which is something you would expect. I mean, he is coming in as like a Heisman contender. He's coming in as a very experienced guy who's ran this offense now for a few years. But when you look at his transition or his the way he came in to where a lot of people called him a running back and they didn't think he could even throw the ball, to now just looking as comfortable as he does and as accurate as he is as a passer, just to see the progression that he's made as a quarterback is just so impressive. And it's really exciting to know that the most important position in college football, you have a guy who's coming in as a top five quarterback in the nation. So to me, that is a really exciting to hear already, that he has that kind of next level ability of running this offense and the accuracy. You know, we already know about his running ability, which he didn't use a whole lot last year, and hopefully he doesn't have to use a lot this year. You know, just kind of keep him upright and keep him healthy. That's utmost important. Again, we know Tate has now had some years of experience. He's won the game at Louisville, but for them to really do what they want to do in 2023, you got to have Jordan Travis for a majority of the season. And so to get the early reports that he's already doing very good in spring camp, looking good, looking crisp, is something that is exciting to hear, especially when you hear about the way him and Johnny Wilson have found chemistry and the way they connect. They say that Johnny Wilson, from some of the reports, that he's really cleaned up a lot of the drops so far, and he's almost uncoverable. I mean, when you have a guy who's 6'7" and can run like a deer, you know, and has great body control, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of top end speed, but he's quicker than you would expect for a 6'7" guy with his body type. It's just a mismatch. And now that he has a year of experience at Florida State, you know, with a highly productive season, and to get even further on the same page with Jordan Travis, it's just going to be fun to watch in 2023. That's going to be an unfair matchup, you know, with all the other talented guys like Portier and like Hakeem Williams, who's coming in, these type of guys that you have. You know, you still have a 6'7" tight end that you brought in this year, and Kyle Morlock as well. So as practice progresses, we'll see more, you know, probably more reports of other guys that are emerging so far. But this is just kind of what we're hearing. Another little note that I have here is Casey Roddick has been working at center, which to me I like, because that was an area that was probably the top area of concern I had as far as depth was concerned on the offensive line. You know, you knew you had Maurice Smith, who bulked up last year, looked good at center for you, is a veteran guy who was kind of the staple of your offensive line in the middle there. But they had to play a walk-on at one point in the LSU game when he was injured. So the fact that you really didn't have any depth at center, that was concerning. And, I mean, Casey Roddick, first off, is just a massive human being when you see the videos and the pictures of him at practice. He's just a big dude. So to being able to have a second guy that you can bring in now who's a scholarship experienced guy with experience at the Power 5 level, you know, we'll have to see how he does snapping the ball, but just to kind of have another road grader up front, that is something that makes me feel a lot better about the longevity of the season and having that extra depth, because you have a ton of guards at Florida State. That's one thing there is no shortage of. You have, especially if Demetri Emmanuel gets his waiver, which is another thing they're waiting on to go through. If he gets his waiver and is eligible to play this year, you got a lot of guards. So to me, moving him to center, or at least cross-training him at center and guard, is a very smart move by Atkins, just to kind of have that experience depth on the offensive line. And that's really a most of the notes that we have. Like I said, it's only been one practice so far. They said, you know, Travis Jay had a good practice, but again, it's just one. We have to see how things go. You know, my thing with this secondary is I do feel like once you get the new coaching with Surtain in there, you're going to see some guys elevate themselves and really kind of step up maybe. And again, that's nothing against the coaching from last year. I just think when you have that guy who played at a high level, who knows how to coach and get the most out of these guys, I think you're going to see better play out of the secondary. So I'm excited about that as well. And just as practice progresses, we'll see the notes and we'll see how things go. And then we'll come back with more on that. So just a couple more things before we wrap it up. One thing that they had a big recruiting weekend recently, and they had a lot of big guys on campus. And guys, this is something that we talked about before, was Florida State is able to get a lot of these big names on campus because they are a big name brand. And now that you had the success that you've had in 2022, which is building into 2023, you've seen a lot more instances where Florida State is now in guys' top fives, top sixes, top threes. You saw five-star Charles Lester is being predicted to go to FSU now. He said he almost committed while he was on campus and visiting with Jameis, who was, you know, it was nice to see Jameis back on campus this past weekend. You also have five-star offensive tackle Jonathan Daniels, who's been predicted to go to FSU, a four-star interior offensive lineman. I'm probably going to butcher this name, Jason Zandamella, predicted, I apologize if I got that wrong, predicted to go to Florida State. Four-star safety Brandon Jacob has been, you know, he named Florida State as his top school. You know, you had Cam Davis, five-star running back in class of 24, who said he's shutting down his recruitment. There's no point in going any further. He knows where he wants to be. And so, again, like, you're starting to see that momentum build in recruiting. And, you know, you get these guys, you know, Mike Norvell brought Jermaine Johnson back on campus, and he brought Jameis Winston, got him to come back on campus with their brick ceremony for being All-Americans. And, you know, you just get this, you know, he's playing 3D chess. You get these big names back on campus for a big recruiting weekend. And these are players that are still relevant now that these younger players still know about. And, you know, they still know who Jermaine Johnson is. They know who Jameis Winston is. They see that they're still in the league. So, you know, you just see that momentum start to pick up. And to me, that's something that we talked about before. You know, don't necessarily shut the door saying that Norvell can't recruit. It's just it was a hard sell for a few years. And now I think with the success and with people seeing what they are building in Tallahassee, you're going to see these things start to pick up. That's why 2024 is still a top five class, and they're in it with a lot of big prospects. So while you can still lean on the portal and you can still have that success, you can also start to land these higher profile high school recruits. You know, we'll see how things play out through the course of the season. But you know, if Florida State has the type of season they want, if they compete for the ACC championship and compete for the playoffs, they're going to be in it for a lot of these big name players. And so that, again, is exciting to see recruiting pick up. Last thing before we move on to some non-football things that I want to talk about real quick is just Mike Norvell, guys. I mean, how we are blessed to have this man as our head coach. I know for a long time people were kind of down on him, wanted to run him off, you know, and I have to say that I was one of the ones who thought that he, you know, I thought he was a better coach than people were giving him credit for. You know, I looked back at what he did in his career as an offensive coordinator and a head coach at Memphis, and I looked at Florida State and kind of examined which was kind of to blame for the things. Now, that doesn't mean he gets to just wash his hands of all the faults that he had. But when you look at some of the pieces he had to work with, the way he had to rebuild this roster, I knew that the potential for him to still get to where he wanted to be was there, and I wasn't going to sell his stock too early. But it's not even the on-the-field stuff that I'm talking about. It's the off-the-field stuff. So recently the news broke that him and his wife became the 300th members of the Bowden Society by making a $1 million donation to Florida State Athletics. And now some people laugh, and I have to laugh too. While you say it's incredible, I know Willie Taggart did the same thing. Now, to be perfectly fair, Willie Taggart was not a bad guy. He just wasn't the greatest coach, and I don't think he was ready for a place like Florida State. So he did make a $1 million donation too. But anyway, you know, Mike Norvell, he makes the $1 million donation, and he just talks about how much it means to be here. And I understand that you can say, well, if you're a guy that makes around $8 million a year, that's chump change. But the fact is, he doesn't have to do that. How many other coaches that make big money like that go out of their way to donate and to the place, the school that employs them, to give $1 million back in donations to help the school out and help the athletic programs out? It's just a really nice gesture, and it also goes a long way to show how happy he is to be here, how much he wants to be here, and how much he cares about elevating the FSU brand, which is why, you know, you also saw the offseason contract extension and things like that. He also had where his foundation is now going to do two athletes every month that will be selected to give a charitable donation funded by his foundation to the charity of their choice, with a minimum of a $2,500 donation apiece. So that's $5,000 a month that he's going to allow two people, two student athletes, to donate every month. And I think the first month they selected Jordan Travis, who's donating to a kids cancer foundation. So guys, I mean, this is just goodwill. This is good stuff. This is Bobby Bowden-esque, the way he's going about things. And it just really, it's impressive the way he's been able to flip Florida State on the field, but also the way he's doing things off the field. Like we've talked about before, you develop the Seminole Scholar Program. You know, they have the highest GPA in the country last year. You also have where, I mean, we really haven't seen a whole lot of off the field drama as well. So it's just been a blessing to be able to have a head coach who is likable, who not only has success, but goes about it the right way. And I thought that it was worth mentioning on show just how appreciative I am to have a coach like him at Florida State, and wishing him nothing but the best and to get success here, because it's good for all of us to do it the right way and to get that success. Now, of course, doing all the right things doesn't guarantee you success, as we saw like with Willie Taggart, who did help with the GPA of the team, who did not have a whole lot of off the field issues either. But, you know, I think now that we've seen the way recruiting's picking up, the season that we saw last year and things like that, I think Mike Norvell is going to have success at Florida State. So to me, it's just there's a whole good vibe around the program going into from last year into this year that I'm really excited about, just to see things like that, the off the field stuff. It does matter. I know wins and losses a lot of times are all that matters. That's all we really care about in college football. But to me, to be able to have a program that you can be proud of, you don't have to worry about being sanctioned or violations, you know, by the NCAA or whatever. You don't have to worry about turning on the news and being in the headlines for bad reasons. I think that's important too. And so I think that just deserves to be acknowledged. So I am definitely, like I said, I'm happy to see that as well. And speaking of boosters, guys, obviously, if you guys want to help out, I encourage you to join the boosters. You can do it. You know, it's only, I think, a minimum of like $70 a year to do. And it's just to help support the school as a whole. I know Battles End has opened up their doors to donations as well, if you're interested in joining that. So it's just, you know, again, like if it's all a continuous snowball of everybody kind of chipping in and doing the best they can. We don't have to talk about, we've talked about a lot about the gap that the ACC is putting us in. So it's a good way to kind of help make that up. Every little bit helps. If you're able to do it, I encourage you to do it. You know, obviously don't do anything you can't do, but it is a way to help this program. So the next thing, the last few things I want to talk about before we wrap it up here, women's basketball, they got a berth in the NCAA tournament. They are a number 7 seed. They will face Georgia on Friday in Iowa. The winner of that game will face either the number 2 seed Iowa or the 15th seed Southeast Louisiana on Sunday. So we do want to wish them luck in their tournament berth. Speaking of basketball, the train wreck that was 2022 for men's basketball is finally over. It ended in another disappointing loss in the ACC tournament. To me, it sounds like Leonard Hamilton is going to get another year to kind of right the ship, and I think he deserves it, but I think you do need to have those kind of background conversations of if the ship doesn't get righted next year, then, you know, maybe it is time to make a change. I think, you know, they're going to have to look into the portal to get some help in here. Hopefully it goes a little better next year. Like I said, I think with the injuries and stuff that we know about that they had to deal with this year, maybe he deserves another year, gets that right to be able to right the ship, and we'll see how it goes. But man, it was bad. It was really, really bad this year. So I think it is kind of time to really kind of look at both sides of the coin, you know, and how he can rebound or what the next step is. Lastly, as far as baseball goes, started pretty hot. You know, they got that big series win at TCU. They won the series over Pitt. They got absolutely dusted by UCF the last two games after coming off another loss at Pitt. So kind of up and down season so far for FSU baseball. It really didn't look very good against UCF, but the season is still young. They still have a lot of baseball to play. It's still year one under Link Jarrett. So, you know, they still have to get some talent in here to kind of help out. And like I said, the season's still early, so hopefully they can get some things fixed and kind of figured out so they can at least pick things up again later in the season. But it's just, you know, like I said, they hit a little bit of a slump. But again, baseball's a long season, and hopefully they can get things corrected there as well. And so that's pretty much going to wrap it up for this episode. Not a whole lot more to talk about. Football will be back this weekend with some more padded practices. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more news out of that. And then going into next week as they continue fall camp, hopefully we can see some guys emerge. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. Hopefully we can get some more insights into the program and how things are going to look in 2023. So be on the lookout for that. As soon as we have some more news building up, we'll be back to talk about that. I'm going to try and get some things going soon. Got to get to work on the preseason preview digital magazine for 2023. Last year it was kind of a last minute decision that I was going to do, and I started out kind of plain, and then I kind of really went over the top with it. I created a whole lot of work for myself that it took over a month to put together. So I'm going to try and get started on that much earlier this year, but of course we got to wait for spring to wrap up and maybe the next portal season to see if they take anyone or lose anyone. But I'm going to be getting to work on that soon for you guys as well. So even if I'm laying low and you don't see a whole lot right now, just know as soon as we get some news, we'll be back and I'll be working on some things. Because like I said, I'm trying to get a lot of personal things done in the springtime before we get into the heat of the season. And, you know, just a really exciting, busy time around Florida State football for what we hope is a really huge season in 2023. So, and with that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I don't normally really mention this, but if you guys enjoy the show, I would greatly appreciate a like and a subscribe, whether it be on YouTube or the podcast. I know a lot of other podcasts ask for 5-star ratings and reviews. If you enjoy the show and you find yourself wanting to do that, I would be greatly appreciative of that. As well as remember to check out plantspear.com for everything we do. And hopefully you guys, I got some feedback that said the site is a lot faster now since we switched servers. So hopefully you guys are enjoying that experience as well. Again, join us on social media to get in on the conversation. I love talking with you guys. I try and respond to every comment and I appreciate everything there. So as always, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and go Noles.